You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Before we get into today's podcast, I'd like to remind listeners that Cannabis Health Radio is supported by our listeners. Corey and I would encourage you to go to the donate page on our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and make a pledge. You can make a one-time donation only, or you can become a monthly supporter for as little as $3 a month, the price of a cup of coffee. And we thank you for your support. More than 3 years ago, at the age of 51, his wife Susie was diagnosed with cervical cancer. Joining us from Vancouver, British Columbia, to tell her story is her husband, Chris Lorio. Chris, good of you to join us. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me, Zach.
Chris, tell us about some of the health issues that Susie was experiencing that led you to take her to the doctor.
Yeah, she had actually been having her period nonstop for a year. Several times we had gone to the doctor. I had asked him to run more tests. We were told that she was going through menopause because of her age and told us everything was okay. And same with my wife saying, you know, we've got to listen to the doctors. They're saying, you know, I'm just fine. She couldn't go to the bathroom. She hadn't been able to use it for a week. That's when I was finally able to convince them to send her to a specialist, and we found out she had 6 to 8 weeks left to live.
What was the diagnosis?
She had cervical cancer, and again, she had less than 8 weeks left. They said there was absolutely nothing they could do and told us to just go home and wait.
And the cancer was causing a blockage in her bowel. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, she hadn't been able to use the bathroom for over a week when we had seen the doctor. Yeah, she couldn't have a bowel movement, and she couldn't urinate, either one.
Wow.
And and she had started to run a fever of 105.
So the doctor said she had 6 to 8 weeks to live. What did you do?
That's right. Well, at that point, you know, I wasn't willing to give up. So I started going on the internet, researching and trying to find anything to help with cancer. And I was literally spending 18 hours a day just researching on the internet. And I came across a video by Rick Simpson called Run from the Cure. And I read that, and I also found the Corey Yelland story and went there. At that point, I started looking up, like when I saw this video, Rick Simpson saying I cured my cancer with cannabis. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard in my life. Like I was brought up, you know, cannabis is bad. You stay away from it. It leads to other drugs and all this stuff. So first I started doing is researching on Rick Simpson. You know, is he a fraud? And, you know, he's trying to take advantage of people and take their money. And I couldn't find anything. And so I started researching cannabis and started finding more and more supporting what he said about the cannabis oil. I tried to see if I could get I didn't know how to make it. Well, actually, from the video you learned, but I didn't know how to get it. I thought, well, maybe I could track down Rick Simpson. I wasn't able to do that, but I did find the producer of the film Run from the Cure, and he was kind enough to put me in touch with Corey, who was a huge help to us, and a huge help.
Yeah, Corey tends to put people, direct people in the right direction, and she's been extremely helpful. So all this time, Susie was still unable to go to the bathroom. She was experiencing a high fever, and she was essentially, I guess you could describe it as auto-intoxication. She was dying.
Yes. Yeah, and I when I got in touch with Corey, she was kind enough to help me find someone that could help us with cannabis oil. So I had placed an order with this gentleman, and he said it would take about a week to get to you, and because I have to make it and so forth. And he sent it out, and I actually thought Susie was going to die before it came. Her fever was increasing. It was going up to 106. She was looking absolutely horrible. And then, the oil finally arrived. And 15 minutes after her first dose, which is a half grain of rice size, her fever was completely gone. After 3 days, she was able to use the bathroom again, both have a bowel movement and urinate. And after 10 days, her period stopped.
And she had her period. So, she had her period for a year.
Yes, nonstop.
Yeah,
because that's where the primary part of the tumor was sitting, and it's because of the cervical cancer, and that was what was causing the bleeding.
I remember the first time that I spoke with you guys, and I remember talking to Susie for just a minute, and she sounded so ill and weak. It was amazing. And the change, I remember talking to her a few weeks later, and the change was just mind-blowing. I think I said as much, yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing, like night and day. But unfortunately, the oil was quite expensive. But the person that I was getting it from, we had placed our order again. I sent him out, and I was getting enough to last her like another 6 weeks. And I got half of what I usually get. And I contacted him, and I said, what's going on here? Well, I was giving you double before. This was not something he had told me. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough money to get more. We ended up running out, and after a few weeks, and then after about a week, her period came back with an absolute vengeance, and she lost about 3 liters of blood in 2 days, and we had to put her in the hospital. When we got to the hospital, we're in emergency, and it's already within I'd say we were there about 5 minutes, and the emergency room doctor comes, and he's, asking us, what was she taking, everything. And Susie's going, no, don't tell them, don't tell them. And I said, honey, we have to tell them everything you're taking. It's not a problem. And I said, cannabis oil. And he goes, oh, I see. I said, what? He says, this is why she has cancer. This is why she's in here. I said, excuse me. She started cannabis oil after we found out that she had cancer. Not before. He says, no. This is the reason. You take cannabis. This is why she's in here. The guy was a complete ass. But also, he told this point, she had to do a round of radiation. He said, if we don't cauterize the tumor, she is going to bleed to death. There is nothing else we can do to stop it. And she was supposed to be in the hospital 7 to 10 days. She ended up in the hospital 3 months. Because she kept on catching diseases from the hospital staff being spread around. It wasn't anything related to her cancer. They kept on picking up stuff from that. And, of course, the only people I had contact with were nurses and doctors. Now their patients are coming over to her bed. So they were actually spreading this around, and she kept on picking things up, and they kept them in here. And they, over that period of time, convinced her that and even Susie knew this, but they had her on morphine, all these drugs, and it was affecting her head. And they convinced her that the reason she had cancer in the first place was because she took the cannabis.
Even though you suggested to them and told them that it was not as a result of the cannabis.
Oh, absolutely. But they convinced Susie that that's what it was, because they had her on so much morphine and everything. She was hallucinating.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. And so they were able to actually convince her, because they kept at her every day. They kept telling her every day, this is why, this is why, this is why. And they actually convinced her that the reason she had cancer was because she was on it. So it was a struggle for me once I got her home. It took me a month before I convinced her to go back on it again, because they had messed with her head so much. And so I finally got her back on and started doing that. But, unfortunately, again, there's the cost of the oil and that being so high. It was hard for us to keep her completely pain-free, and we had to rely on pharmaceuticals to help keep her pain down as well. So I couldn't get enough oil to keep her you know, keep the pain completely off. Although at one point, I did run a GoFundMe, and I was able to, there was only at one point we had her completely pain-free for about 6 weeks, because I got enough where we were giving her 2 grams a day of oil. That was working. But unfortunately, that was run out, and we had to start relying on, you know, pharmaceuticals again. I still, like where we were living, we weren't able to, you know, I couldn't make any oil, because if I tried to do that, you don't make it in your house. That's a really dumb thing to do. And if I tried to do anything outside, the neighbors would call the police in an instant. So we still had to purchase, and with that, the cost is definitely a lot higher. And, you know, to try and make it yourself, because I'd have to buy all the plant material, you know, a pound of buds, at least at the time, could run me anywhere from $2,000 to $8,000. Mm-hmm. So it was quite costly.
Yeah, and a pound will generally make 60 grams, so it's not making that much.
Yeah.
Not so, when you're thinking that Susie's doing 2 grams a day.
Yeah, but it's just to try and buy it and do it myself. I didn't know, like, I hadn't heard about anything like shake, which is considerably cheaper,
right?
And to do that. But at the time, I only knew about buds, and it's just the cost was really high. In the end, actually, what killed her wasn't the cancer. I was able to keep her alive for over a year, but the doctor changed her to a drug called fentanyl. And unfortunately, after a year, we'd actually eliminated 75% of her cancers, and the doctor put her on fentanyl, and she suffered all 32 possible allergic reactions to the drug and died in 3 days.
Yeah, it was horrible. She was holding her own, and then boom.
Yeah, and they put that on there. I had them remove the patch after 1 day. Because I could already see as soon as they put it on there, and I told them, they said, well, don't. I said, you either remove the damn patch or I'm taking it off of her, because I could see that she was declining. And even after 24 hours, it was too late. It killed her. So it actually was that did it, and not the cancer itself. Fentanyl is such an awful drug. No one should, if you have cancer, you need to stay away from that. It's just going to shorten your lifespan.
Chris, let me back up a bit. When you took Susie out back home from being in the hospital, did she undergo radiation in the hospital?
Yes, she did. She had 10 treatments.
Okay, and when you brought her home, because of the brainwashing, I guess for lack of a better term, that the medical profession undertook when she was in the hospital to stigmatize the taking of the cannabis oil, how difficult was it for you to convince her to go back on it again?
Oh, it's hard. It took me a month to convince her to start up again, and it was really tough, because they convinced her that this is the reason she was there, and she was really angry at me, because, you know, that was she was still on the morphine and everything, and her head wasn't straight. So she thought that being on the cannabis oil is why she ended up here. And, you know, finally, after some long talks, and for at least for me, she figured she was making me happy by doing that. I got her to go back on again, and then, you know, started getting her pain, you know, back down. And like I said, that was working, but unfortunately, again, like I said, the cost involved, that made it difficult, and she had to use the pharmaceuticals. And I'm quite sure if I knew then what I knew now, she'd certainly still be alive.
Mm. Yeah, you fought incredibly hard. It was a really bittersweet love story to kind of watch go down. Chris, wasn't there a point where you had the police involved at the house or something with the home care nurses and all this hassle over oil? It was...
what we were doing, I actually had ordered some cannabis paste from there was a new company online, and, you know, we're taking the oil. I was trying to get, you know, something else to try and help her, and we were waiting for it to come, and the police, the nurse came to check on Susie, and I want her to go back to the hospital. She'd only been home, a short time. And I said, no. I said, we're waiting for the cannabis base to arrive. I said, I'm quite sure this is going to help her. This is going to be here by, you know, tomorrow. We will know immediately, like within a day, if this is having any effect on her. If it doesn't, I will agree for her to go to the hospital. And the nurse says, no, she's going now. I said, no. I said, we need to keep her here. The moment she goes there, you guys aren't going to let her take this. So I said, she needs to stay. The nurse called the police. The police and the ambulance came to our home. I said, no. They said, we're taking her. I said, no. And they put me to the side. And Susie's telling me to come and wait, otherwise they're going to put me into handcuffs. And I'm trying to, you know, stop them, but I had no choice. And Susie said, no, I want to stay home. I do not want to go to the hospital. I want to wait to take the paste. And they took her, they actually dragged her off screaming, saying, leave me home. And they took her to the hospital. I ended up doing the fentanyl patch after that.
Chris, that's a horrible...
And myself, I actually think that the doctor did that to induce death.
Yeah, that's a horrible story.
Yeah, and I'm pretty positive that that's why they did it. Because they figured there was nothing that could be done. And I think the doctor actually did that knowing that it would induce death. I can't prove it, but I believe it.
What did they list Susie's cause of death as?
Cancer.
Yeah, well, that's the age-old story.
Yeah, I was actually, and I wanted to have an autopsy done, but I was told it wasn't allowed because they knew what killed her. And I couldn't afford to have it done on my, I couldn't afford to pay for one to be done. And so I'd have to rely on the government doing that, and I requested it, but they wouldn't do it.
It's interesting. Listening to your story, I was thinking that, you know, if Susie... If you had the finances to get the amount of paste or oil that you needed, Susie, I believe, would be alive today.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. But at that point, as I said, I didn't know how to make the paste. But if she would have had the full amount of oil, there's no doubt in my mind that she'd be alive. And certainly if I knew then what I knew now as far as making the paste and the paste oil, she'd definitely be alive. And I would be able, from what I was paying then, you know, could have made her a full treatment for about probably 10 to 20% of the cost of what I was putting out. So, because I know how what to do now, and also the a pound of buds can run you again. Like, you go to the dispensary, you're paying $2,000 to $8,000 for that. A pound of shake, you can get from anywhere from $300 to $1,000, depending on where you're going, considerably cheaper. That makes it a huge impact for people. And the thing is that they think that shake is necessary. It's good. Good quality shake can be just as strong as buds. So you just have to look around a little, know what you're getting, and you can still make very good quality products with it.
Chris, explain to me, someone who's not familiar with shake, what is that?
Well, when they go and trim the like all the buds, and they do that, these are the leftovers. When they do all the trimming, they're the bits that fall on the floor and everything that's left, and they sweep these up, put them into a big bag, and that's the shake. It's all the leftover bits that are done after that. So, again, if it's good quality shake, it's just as good as buds, and the cost is way, way down. So if it's someone where money is an issue, that is 100% the way to go. But it's tough to find. You have to have a really good relationship with your dispensary, because most 90% of actually the oil that's made at the dispensaries is made with shake, not buds. Because they make way too much money on the buds themselves, so they generally use shake. So this is very hard to get a hold of.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I think it depends on what dispensary you're talking about, too, though. You know?
Yeah, but true enough. True enough. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not saying that dispensaries are doing anything wrong. This is generally, most of them, this is what they use to make it. So there are some dispensaries where they care more about the people than they do about the money. There's a couple of them out there. But predominantly, a lot of them, it's, you know, money is still their business, and that's kind of what they're after.
Chris, tell me the difference between cannabis oil and cannabis paste.
Okay. With cannabis paste, everything is left in. you do not waste nothing. You consume the entire plant. With the oil, you're taking your material, you're soaking it in a solvent, whether it's alcohol, isopropyl, whatever you're using, and then you're burning that down, and you're left with the oil, and you throw away all the plant material. With the shake, with the paste, everything is left in, and you consume the entire plant, so nothing is wasted. It's actually considered 2,000% more efficient than oil. Not that, you know, oil is absolutely great, it's fantastic, this is just, you know, another option. And before Susie passed away, I had made her a couple of promises. One was which is that I'd try and find a way to help others, other husbands, other wives, other families, not have to go through this. And, you know, something about making the oil is that it can be very hazardous. This is why you hear about people, you know, blowing themselves up. They try and make it indoors, and all those fumes from that alcohol float in the air, and they don't think about making it outside. I couldn't do it outside because of my neighbors, and I had to find a safe way to make something that would be effective. And I found about cannabis paste, and my first recipe was just basically coconut oil and plant material. And I built on that to, you know, what I have now. And I started making the paste in the first place over the oil.
Yeah, so you're convinced that paste is better than oil, but oil is still great.
No. I'm not saying better.
No, you're not.
You know, it's the equivalent. But as far as, like, when, if I'm, you know, recommending to people, what I say is that you do, for cancer anyway, it's what I make is a combination of paste and oil infused together. Two full treatments in one. You take 2 liters of paste and 50, 60 grams of oil. It's put together. So you're actually double your chances of getting that cure. And that's where also the shake comes into play, because it is so much cheaper. This makes it easier to do this. And this way you double up, and, you know, you're increasing your chances of, you know, curing the cancer.
Chris, how did you find out about all of this?
Well, the cannabis paste, I first came on my Facebook. I read about a gentleman named Rick Ewell. He was promoting the cannabis paste. And so he's actually was a medicine man for his tribe. And he told me about this. And he says, oh, I can't, you know, I use this. And this is just, you can't use coconut oil. He says, or you can use glycerin. And, you know, you put it in there. And he says, this is how I cured my cancer. So I took that first basic recipe and started working on that to where I am now. What I put in mind is there is coconut oil, glycerin, cilantro, parsley, ginger, mango, chaga mushrooms, and dandelion root, along with cannabis, of course.
And do you,
and everything that's in there has a purpose.
Right. And with the oil, you just you start off with a small amount. Do you do the same thing with the paste?
Yeah, you're doing an eighth of a teaspoon 4 times a day, and you're building up to 7 teaspoons 4 times a day. And it's the same as the oil. This is done over a 3-month period. It's exactly the same way. But again, this is, if you think about it, again, this is when it's cancer, I still recommend people that do both infused together. So they actually are taking both oil and paste at the same time. So in that way, it's actually stronger than what oil is, or stronger than what, you know, the paste is alone. We put them both together, and you actually end up with an even stronger product.
Well, a combination.
And a better chance of cure.
Yeah, a combination of the paste and oil. You should call it poil.
Yeah.
Call it poil.
Yeah, well, the other advantage to, like, the one advantage to the paste. Now, the one thing about cancer patients is keeping weight on is very difficult because their appetites go down. Even with the oil, sometimes that can bring the appetite up. Sometimes it doesn't. Depending, there are a few people who it doesn't necessarily affect them that way. And the paste, once they get up to a teaspoon, it is 100 calories. Now, that may not sound like a whole lot, but 7 of those a day, 700 calories. It's not the end-all and be-all, but it will help maintain their weight, which is huge for cancer patients.
Do you take the paste yourself?
Yes, every day.
Every day. How much do you take a day?
I take 1 teaspoon a day. 2 years ago, I weighed 335 pounds. I am now 175.
Run that by me again. How much did you weigh?
335 pounds.
And today you weigh 175.
So
you lost 160 pounds. You've lost half your body weight.
Yeah, half my body weight. Plus, I have many health issues myself. I have extremely severe allergies, and I used to sneeze anywhere from 2 to 16 hours every single solitary day of my life for about the last 17 years. It may not sound like, you say, oh, yeah, I get allergies. People don't understand. It was so severe, it was very debilitating. It actually had put me in the hospital a couple of times with fluid on my lungs because I'd be sneezing and coughing so much. I also had what they called nocturnal leg cramps. It would only happen a couple times a week, but I'd wake up screaming because it was so bad from the pain that I would get in my leg. As well as I'd had diarrhea for 6 years and hemorrhoids for 7. And after I started on taking, like, first I had taken the oil. Like, I took one little bit on my finger. I put some oil on my finger, put it up my rear, and my hemorrhoids were gone within 3 days. And after being on the paste for a week, my allergies stopped. After 10 days, I had no more diarrhea, and my nocturnal leg cramps went away. Instead of, like, a couple times a week, I might have it happen once every couple months now. And my allergies, instead of it being every day, once every about 6 or 7 weeks, I get them for a day and they go away. It's completely changed my health around. Plus, I have a brain disorder that affects my memory. It started in my 20s, and it mimics Alzheimer's. So unlike Alzheimer's patients, where things accumulate, was what I have, you recover. So it doesn't accumulate over time, but can you imagine being in your 20s and you forget the name of family members and things like that? So the cannabis has made a huge impact on my memory. It's so much better. It hasn't been like this since I was in my early 20s.
Some people will probably say it's a good idea if you forget some members of your family.
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Chris, I want to ask you about your weight again, losing half your body weight. And did you change your eating habits at all?
Well, I did a little bit, but it's in the sense that the cannabis helped me do that. See, what a lot of people know is that, you know, you take cannabis and you get the munchies, which is true. But what they don't know is that if you are 50 pounds or more overweight, it can actually have the opposite effect and suppress your appetite. So that helped me make that choice. And before I did this, I used to eat 200-gram bags of chips every day, a 200-pound bag of Cheezies, and 2 liters of pop. And I cut that crap out.
Holy diabetes, Chris.
That's right.
And when I first started trying, like, I hadn't done any walking or anything like that. And when I first started, I could maybe get to the end of my block. And now I can do 10 or 20 kilometers. Actually, I started that when the Pokemon Go came out. I actually walk 10 or 20 kilometers now every day.
Good for you.
The rain's been a little bit bad. But I couldn't even walk down the street when I first started.
How soon after consuming the cannabis oil/paste did you notice differences were occurring within your body?
Oh, immediately. But actually, I had, like when I was, for myself, I just usually just take paste. The paste oil that I make is just for the, like, people with cancer. So I just take the paste alone, but I noticed differences, excuse me, within, I'd say, 3 days of taking the paste. Within 3 days, I already noticed the difference. My health had already started to improve. And certainly after being on it for 10 days, my allergies were gone, and my, you know, the nocturnal leg cramps were gone, and my diarrhea was gone, my hemorrhoids were gone. It was amazing. And I had already noticed my memory starting to improve a little bit. But that took a little bit of time. It was over a period of months, and then, wow, I noticed all of a sudden, wow, my memory's so much better. Because it would be, like, sometimes I would forget something, and it'd be, like, maybe somewhere between, it could be 4 hours, or, like, a week later, I'd remember, oh, yeah, that was it. But now it's, like, immediate. Within a few minutes, I might forget something, and be, like, 5, 10 minutes later, oh, yeah, that was it. Which was a gigantic improvement from waiting a week to remember what it was. So,
Chris, in helping others, have you noticed that their health improved as well?
Yeah, well, I as well as it not just with folks with cancer, but I've helped people at the pace with diabetes and Crohn's and Parkinson's. It does wonderful stuff for Parkinson's patients. They're able to get their shaking down any from 90 to up to 100% and improve their lives, you know, greatly. And I have a friend with very severe arthritis, and for her, she just takes a 16th to 1/8 of a teaspoon once a day and completely controls it, and she can work. And that's all she needs.
Chris, it was great to talk to you, and I appreciate you telling Susie's story and your story as well. It was very gracious of you. Thanks very much.
Well, I appreciate you having me on today.
Thank you, Chris, very much.
There you have it, another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. Wherever you are listening in the world, thanks very much. We very much appreciate it. And thank you, all of you, for your support.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.